Can you remember what we read? Let me read it to you again, just in case. It isn't I got the service muddled up, it's just that I think that children ought to hear the word of God. And it sinks in and comes out later. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And that hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So what's on offer here? What practical contribution is Jesus making to our lives in those words? If he's making none, we've wasted our time. And time is too precious to waste. So what is on offer? Now, Paul is not writing to the Romans with a view to being their next minister. He is writing to them with a view to seeking their help and their encouragement to go to Spain. Paul needed a base to get to Spain, and Rome was the place that he had in mind. So he had a reason to write to them, and he writes to them about what he believes. And it's a very closely argued letter. Indeed, it is so closely argued that I would dare to suggest that there are a fair few theses on the shelves around this city on this very book. But what's he saying to us? Now, these words have been mine ever since I've been a Christian. They were part of the baptismal package. Billy Graham suggested that I learnt them by heart. But it took a little while for me to learn another little phrase in this book that is very, very precious. And I want you to try and keep it in mind as we go along. Paul uses it a fair number of times. A righteousness from God. Just try and keep it in mind as we go along. But let's look at what's here to unpack. First of all, we hear about justification by faith. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. I was chatting with my barber the other, during Ramadan. So that's a few weeks ago. He started the conversation and he asked me what I did before I retired. I said a Baptist minister, and he immediately went on to tell me about fasting, because he was in the middle of fasting. And we had a little conversation about fasting and its values. I had to confess that I'm not particularly good at it. It was as I was paying, I've changed my barber recently, and I have to pay for this one, that a little aside came out. He said, I try to be good. I hope I am good enough. He it isn't something you just hear from Muslims. I've walked hospital wards for the last 30 years, and it comes up quite frequently. I've talked to families about funerals, and it comes up quite frequently. I've talked to Baptist church members, and it comes up quite too frequently. You see, death, eternity, has an uncertain shroud about it. So many people are none too sure. My wife's grandfather, I never knew him, but he had a period of prolonged illness, and he got fed up with it. So you know what he did? He made contact with his brethren in the assembly, and he said to them, "Stop praying that I live. It's time to depart and be with the Lord." Now, that could be family fiction. We like to talk well of the dead. And I'm aware of all that. But I knew the family's physician. I knew the doctor. And I'll tell you this, that GP treated that family better than he did most. Why? Because the old man, he'd spoken to him about the Lord. And he had a death worth having. And the doctor never forgot it. Death is a certainty. So how are you preparing? Are you brushing up your CV? Or maybe unpacking your baptismal certificate? Or are you planning to walk up to the reception desk in heaven and say, "I have a booking. It is paid for in full." Which is your option? What's Paul offering? What's he saying? He's saying, you can knock on heaven's door and say, "I have a reservation, it's booked and paid for." There's a little verse just before our little reading that says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised for our justification." That's my hope. This day you will be with me in paradise. Who did Jesus say that to? Oh, come on. You know, don't you? Come on. Who did he say it to? What was his CV like then?
Terrible.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Would he get a CRB check?
Probably not.
No, definitely not. He had a record, you see, as long as his arm. But what does Jesus say? "You will be with me before the end of the day." Do we believe that? Or is it just a figment of our imagination? Is that what we believe? It's a righteousness from God. Now, of course, you're going to spot a flaw in this, aren't you? Because you've got agile brains. You're going to spot something. It's a real flaw. It's the weakness of Paul's theology. If I've got a righteousness from God, and Jesus has forgiven my sins past, present and future, I can now live as I like, can't I? Because it doesn't matter. I've got a righteousness from God. It's all covered. I might as well let grace abound even more and sin more. And do you know, that is the caricature of Paul's gospel. And you good Baptists know the answer, don't you? Don't you? You students of Romans are already coming to chapter 6, aren't you? Yeah, what does it say? What does it say? What is on offer? Come on, you can tell me. We were born with Christ in... Come on, we were buried with Christ in baptism. Do you remember that? It was part of the baptismal classes. At least I hope it was. What's all that about? It means, deliberately, closing our right minds, we made a commitment. We said, we are dying to the old Adam, the old nature, and we are going to start living in the Spirit, in the power of the resurrection. Isn't that what it was all about? Well, if it wasn't, it was a waste of water. I'm sorry, but it was a waste of water. Jesus called us to a life change. He called us to be like him. But that is the ethical symbolism. That answers the little question of Paul's dodgy theology. It isn't dodgy. It's more powerful than most of us want to admit. But what of the other side? Buried with Christ in baptism. I was buried with Christ in baptism. What's the eternal significance of going under the water? Surely it is this. That we will rise out of that water, and as surely we will rise out of our graves. Anything less than that is a waste of water, a waste of space, and we're found in a full down and we might as well go home and not come back. Jesus is as good as his promise. I'm soon going to be knocking on the door. Well, that's the fact of it. I'm on borrowed time already. But destiny is more certain than anything else I know. But now peace. What has Paul got to say about peace with God? We are justified by faith, and that means because of Calvary's finished work, we have peace with God. And as Billy Graham used to say in his lovely little book, Peace with God, you can't have the peace of God until you've got peace with God. Peace with God. And out of that peace comes those words about not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Well, what do you make of all that? Peace with God, the peace of God, and the next passage is about suffering. Boom! The man's mad, isn't he? No, he's not. I've spoken to loads and loads of senior NCOs who would have said exactly that if they'd had the wit to say it. Adversity builds character. And the senior NCOs I spoke to had all seen the war. Out of our suffering, God can be trusted. And you say, well, is that true? Well, I can only say, in my experience, it is true. In days gone by, well, when I was a youngster, just new in the ministry, we often used to discuss when you should use all things work together for good to them that love God in pastoral counselling. Well, any scripture needs to be used with care. But it's a promise in the book. Not so many years ago, when hospital chaplains started to look after everybody and not their just their designated denominations, I said to my line manager, who was a Catholic, what do Catholics use in terms of scripture? And eventually he gave me a list of some of the scriptures they used. And guess what was there? All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, I'll tell you this, you can say what you like about the Catholic priesthood, but they trained their priests for pastoral care. I have to admit, the Baptists don't. But that's something else. Is it true? Well, I can only tell you this. I know lots and lots of times when I've been called out take on some crisis or other that the person's had, and I've prayed on the way there, Lord, give me something to say. And you know what? Jesus got there before me, and I went to give the blessing and came back blessed. I know that shouldn't happen. I know that isn't the way you think about pastoral care, but that's the way it so often is. Sorry, you go out there thinking, what am I going to say? And the end point is you say, I don't have anything to say because God's already said it. And you just walk away blessed. You can trust God to look after your life. But let's move on to hope that does not disappoint. Let me tell you a story. Many years ago, I was called to the principal's office early one evening. I wandered up the stairs and wondered where what it was all about. And I discovered when I closed the office door. He had been asked by a church to find a prospective minister. And he told me the details. 12 members. Initial home mission grant. That meant the Home Mission was going to be paying most of it. Situation, housing estate in Kingston upon Hull. Kingston upon Thames would not have run to my CV. Now, I've got a very bad habit. I try to get out of it, but I'm very, very worldly. If you name a proposition, I'm sorry, but the first thing I would say is, how much does it cost? I couldn't do that with a principal at Spurgeon's College, could I? So I worded it slightly different. And I said, is that viable? Do you know what he replied? Go for the ride. So it was. I ventured beyond Luton. I went to Hull. and I came back on the Monday morning train. I'd learnt a lot. 12 members were 10. 5 of them were over 70. And only one was younger than my 27 years. And if you ask her on the way out, she'll tell you a lot younger. They were the fact, one other little fact that I picked up. The church was built on leased land, and the lease ran out the next year. So I sat on the train with two certainties. One, if they invited me back the second time and invited me to be their pastor, if I said no, I'd be disobedient. It was as simple as that. Second certainty was that they would have a church on a permanent site. Later, I was helping the site foreman set the fixings for the steelwork. 15 years later, God kept his promise. What is this hope that Paul talks about? Is it hope for the best? Or is it hope that is certain? It is hope that is certain. Paul speaks about the coming of Jesus as the blessed hope. Not sometime never, soon. Certain, guaranteed. Heaven? I hope I'm good enough. No. There's a righteousness from God. Is that yours? A righteousness from God that will have you coming before the reception desk completely clean, completely right, completely saved. I'm not expecting to knock on the door of heaven. I'm not expecting to ring the bell for attention at the reception desk. I am expecting to meet Jesus. And I'm expecting him to do all the paperwork and see me through. The only thing I'm really hoping is that I might just have an opportunity to have a little peek in that book called the Book of Life. I want to see the date when my name was written in. Was it in the summer of 1954? Or a little bit earlier? Or could it have been before time began? When was your name written in the Book of Life? Look to Jesus. It's there. Look to Jesus and heaven's yours. Look to Jesus. And it's a hope that's guaranteed. I'll see you there. And it won't be long. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for all that is ours in Jesus. And for all the hope that is laid out for us, not only for today and tomorrow, but for all eternity. Forever truth. Nothing can separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.